The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 4 podcast.
We welcome you back. Final hour has arrived, and we'll talk a little bit about Auburn's opening of spring ball with Justin Ferguson coming up here in just a few minutes. We'll continue with your phone calls at 855-242-7285, and other than Justin, we'll spend most of the time in the final hour on your calls. Let's get to Joseph right up next in Mississippi. Joseph, how are you?
Hey, Mr. Paul, I'm doing well. And how about yourself?
Doing great. Thank you very much.
That's awesome. Anyway, I just want to ask you, my gosh, I know it was awful that the Rebels didn't make the NCAA tournament. I thought that they should have a chance. I know that with Oregon State winning, that sort of put us out and other teams. I mean, that is what it is. But to make the NCAA tournament, I know we got a number one seed in NIT, which what I call not in the tournament. I know it was the first tournament that I think that it still means something. I mean, why not? I mean, I know there were several years that under Andy Kennedy that we made it to, you know, Madison Square Garden, but this year it's all going to be in Texas. But I wanted to ask you this. What is the deal on what I heard something about if, like, Virginia or
Here it is. Let me explain it, and we'll know soon. The first four out, which includes Ole Miss, are essentially put on a standby list for the NCAA tournament. And I think the deadline is tonight when they're going to find out.
Yes, sir, it is.
So if for some reason you have a bunch of schools that are unable to play, then the next available school will move in, and then Ole Miss will move up. So it's too bad. Ole Miss did not catch any breaks over the weekend, as you alluded to. One thing about the NIT the NIT is more of a conversation piece. Coaches get to use it by saying, hey, we're postseason X number of years. If you win it, it does matter. If you don't win it, it probably doesn't matter a whole lot.
That's true. And because the other years that we've been in there and we made it to Madison Square Garden, which this year is not going to be like
that. Yeah, that's a big
deal.
I know
it's just a crazy
year. That's exciting.
But
a lot of players have never been there before. But I've covered a lot of NIT games in the past. There was a time, and the time was like 70 years ago, that it was in some ways more influential and important than the NCAA tournament. It's a very – if you're not inside the basketball bubble, candidly, it doesn't mean a whole lot. But basketball people appreciate the history of it. And it's better than not playing. I mean, that's about the simplest way to put it. If you're a basketball coach, you do not like to – look at your team and go, okay, we're done. You still have practices and still have games to play, and you can perhaps build. I don't know many people who can remember who won the last five NITs or any NIT if it wasn't your team, but it does help you when the next season rolls around. Thanks for the call. Appreciate it. Let's check out Warren, who is up next in South Carolina. Hey, Warren, thank you, and good afternoon.
Hi, Paul. Wanted to bring up, it seems like it may be time to talk about moving the Georgia-Clemson game out of North Carolina. They're still really strict on their rules up there for sports, and with South Carolina already saying that they're going to allow full capacity at Clemson, hopefully. I'd like to bring up the possibility of maybe playing at a neutral field at Williams-Brice, or even Soldier Field, or wherever.
Yeah,
let me
address that, since I happen to, at least as of this conversation, be a resident of North Carolina. I think that will be walked back, but I understand your concern. The North Carolina governor has been one of the strictest in the country when it comes to COVID. I don't think that's an issue yet. Now, if we're sitting here in 2 months and they're still allowing 10% of the fans, then it's a serious issue.
Well, to my understanding, they're talking about it already at the
Yeah, I know they're talking about it, but all I'm trying to say is, I know they just Saturday night let fans back for the NBA team. But I think the public resistance is going to be massive if we're sitting here talking in late August, early September, and everyone else in the country is I just don't think that the governor, I don't know him, but I don't think he can resist if everybody else has moved forward. I just don't.
Yeah, waiting that long is hard on tickets and people making plans and everything else. I think that they just need to go ahead and make the
call. I will tell you this. If we're still sitting here in 2 months and he hasn't made up my mind, I'm totally in agreement with you.
Okay,
I just don't think anybody, maybe I'm naive, I just don't think anyone outside of maybe California is going to be saying the same thing in August that they are now. I just cannot believe it based on everything that's going on right now in COVID. I'm not saying it's perfect, but I think all colleges within reason are going to go to full attendance, and I think most people will either. I do know the governor is speaking on COVID tomorrow, so maybe I can get a friend to ask a question. It's a good question, by the way. Let's check in with Larry, who is up next. Hey, Larry.
Hi, Paul. How are you doing?
We're doing great. Thank you for the call.
Yeah, so I had a question. I was wondering, between Bobby Boucher of South Central Louisiana State Mud Dogs and Rudy from Notre Dame, who do you think the better overall player is, in your opinion?
I'm going to let you answer that question because I'm not an expert on either one.
Oh, I just think Bobby Boucher has, you know, the mix of strength, speed, and just, like, endurance, you know? And, you know, I would think he'd persevere over Rudy.
And well, Larry, also, this is where the host of the show is going to lean heavily on the caller. So if that's what you think, I am all over it. Hey, thank you for the call. Travis is up next. Hey, Travis, go right ahead.
Hey, how you doing, Paul? I love your show.
Thank you.
I just want to know why these Georgia fans always crowning themselves at the beginning of the season. They are nothing but paper champs. We're not playing horseshoes. Only Colson is counting horseshoes. I just don't understand why they keep prouding themselves. September 4th will be their demise when Clemson beat them, and they're going to go downhill from there.
Well, you just don't have much faith in the Dogs, do you, Travis?
No, I don't. I'm an Alabama fan. Kirby Smart, when he left Georgia, how he did the recruiting tactics and everything, and all the jaw-jacking they've been going on for years, and the closeness, I just don't think that they ever be there. I mean, something about Georgia that something always going to happen, believe me.
I will take that to the bank, Travis. Thank you for the heads up.
Have a good one, Paul. Love
you.
The show.
Okay, my friend. Good to hear from you. Let's check in with Scott, who is in Louisiana. Hello, Scott.
Hello, Paul.
Good afternoon.
Glad to hear you're doing well.
Thank you.
Just wanted to check your thoughts on, Gator football. I think this coming year is going to be a big question mark for us. Losing a lot of talent, and we saw what happened when Trask didn't have any receivers. So that was my first point. And second point is, what do we do about Mike White? I mean, I'm personally calling for his head because I've seen him take this team from Billy B's team, which had big men. They had an inside game. They had an outside game. Then Mike White comes in, and we live and die by the three-pointer.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/paul. That's hims.com/paul for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan. Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
And now we have big men, and he doesn't seem to know what to do with them. And we blow big leads consistently.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought up Mike White, because there has been a constant stream of criticism about him, and I must admit I follow the Gators from a distance. I don't live and die Gator basketball every day of the week, but
sure.
He, and I'm not making excuses here, he had a tough act to follow. He followed a guy that won back-to-back championships, got to the Final Four again. He had a good resume at Louisiana Tech, but certainly nothing that would indicate he would be a smashing success. I mean, he was there for 4 years and got to the NIT. And you know, he got off to a fairly quick start his second year getting to the Elite Eight. But the next 2 years, he couldn't get past the Sweet 16. And now the question really is, you know, is this program moving forward while you have a bunch of dogs like Arkansas and Alabama, and you know Kentucky's going to be back? Georgia may or may not catch up a little bit with Tom Crean. He's certainly capable of it. South Carolina seems to be at a standstill. But my point being, he's taken advantage of a very bad bottom of the league, in the sense that, you know, the natural rivals, Vandy has been out to lunch. South Carolina, with one exception, as you know. And this was the time to take advantage, and I'm not sure that he has an advantage right now.
Right, and I hear Billy D is unemployed at the moment. And our court is named after him. So what do you think about the possibility of him coming back?
I don't know how to handicap that one. I know Billy Donovan is a coveted coach, and I have not followed it lately, but I thought he was with the Bulls, though.
I thought I saw something recently that he had taken some sort of supporting role there, talent scout or something along those lines.
Really?
But
I thought he was the head coach of the Chicago Bulls, but maybe I'm.
I may be mistaken. I don't follow the NBA very closely.
Yeah.
So.
Well, my advice would be to take Billy Donovan off your list. I don't think he's since he just started with the Bulls. I think he'll be there for a while. I do think that it's a challenging situation for Scott Strickland, because White does everything right, and he's gotten to the tournament again. He's only missed a tournament his first year, so I think it would be very difficult to get him out of there. Hey, listen, we'll continue this conversation a little bit later. Thank you for the call. If you want to get in, we have a guest coming up, but we have plenty of time for you to call in. the final 40 minutes or so at 855-242-7285. Lines are available, and we are coming right back.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
And we are back here on a late Tuesday afternoon. Justin Ferguson joining us, covers the Auburn Tigers. And Justin, thanks for being a part of the show again. Always enjoy chatting. So give us the latest. The camp is underway. I guess it's underway with Brian Harsin, or it's about to be. And how has it gone so far, 2-3 months into his tenure?
Yeah, so Auburn opened camp yesterday. Monday afternoon was the first practice under Brian Harsin, as he said. Yesterday when he talked to us, it's really the first time that team's been able to come together in a true football sense capacity. So it was a big day for the Tigers. And, you know, the last couple of months has been a lot about, you know, Brian Harsin going around speaking about, you know, the culture, the team building element that he's been wanting to do. We're kind of putting his stamp on the way things are going to go, getting guys adjusted to, you know, what his style is, what his new staff style is, and all that. And I think one of the biggest things we saw from that just kind of yesterday was, you know, Auburn comes out with a new roster showing the updated, you know, heights and weights and, you know, positions for everybody. A lot of position changes with the new scheme, especially with Derek Mason taking over on defense. And the other thing, that offensive line that Auburn has, you know, has had some struggles with over the last few years, a whole lot bigger, a lot of making some significant jumps in weight. And I think that's just kind of the, you know, that kind of style of football we saw from Brian Harsin's teams out at Boise State, trying to implement that at Auburn, and you're seeing some of the early effects of it. It's just a different way of going.
Yeah, Justin, let's talk about you mentioned Derek Mason. I want to get to the offense in a minute, but how do you think it's going to look and be different under him?
Yeah, so that's been the kind of the million-dollar question around Auburn, is because, you know, under Kevin Steele, you knew what you were getting out of Auburn's defense, and it was really good and really effective. But, as you know, you're going to run four down linemen. You're going to run a lot of man on, you know, two safeties over the top. Now, you know, with Derek Mason, he is kind of that architect of that famous, you know, 3-4 defense we know him from at Stanford. Did a lot of that at Vanderbilt. Sprinkled in some 4-3, especially towards the end of his tenure there. And I think when you look at what Auburn's defense is going to look like in 2021, I think it's going to be a, you know, kind of a mixture of things. They're going to want to be able to do some 3-man stuff up front. They're going to want to be able to do some 4-down stuff and stay as well. They're going to want to be able to move their linebackers around and do a lot of different things because they have a ton of experience in that group coming back. Secondary, I think you're going to see just some more different kind of coverages, you know, just shaking it up a little bit more, maybe some more zone than what we've used to seeing from Auburn in the past. So, I mean, Derek Mason's whole, you know, MO on defense, and he had to do it as an act of survival at Vanderbilt, was, you know, be prepared for anything. We're going to throw anything possible at you. And I think they're going to try to implement that at Auburn. And I think that's part of the reason why Derek Mason made so much sense as Brian Harsin's defensive coordinator, because that's very much kind of his mentality on the offensive side of the ball. So they're going to try it on the defensive side of the ball with, obviously, you know, just some more talented players than what Mason had at his disposal at Vanderbilt.
Yeah, one thing about him, he just seems like he is a player's coach, and I don't know if you've heard much so far because camp just opened, but what are you hearing?
Yeah, I mean, I think that these guys are connected with Derek Mason pretty well. I mean, from what I've heard, it's just a different vibe around the defense, a different vibe around the kind of the program, but, you know, it's just a different way of going about things. And Derek Mason is a teacher, and, you know, that secondary for Auburn, where I'm really interested in this season for him, is that he's going to kind of take over that safety spot. They have a cornerbacks coach, a dedicated cornerbacks coach, but he's going to be kind of in charge of the safeties. That's a group that lost a decent bit with Jamie Sherwood and Jordan Peters, and if you count Christian Tutt, who played a lot of their nickel last season, they have Smoke Monday coming back, who's a really good NFL prospect that can continue to develop under him. But, you know, he's very much a teacher, and he's going to get you really locked and set in with the fundamentals. And I think that's kind of the big thing, is that, you know, Auburn's been great on defense these last several years under Kevin Steele, and they're not going to, you know, go away from that. I don't think they're not going to, you know, tear it up and start completely from scratch. I think you're going to see some things that are familiar from what we've seen in the Steele defense, in the Mason defense. But I think a lot of that fundamental work, that base, that groundwork that they're wanting to do, that's stuff that Mason, you know, thrives on when you hear him talk. And that's what spring practice is all about. So I think he's off and running, and Brian Harsin has given him, you know, kind of the, you know, full speed to just go ahead and make his mark on this defense and let him run the show on that side of the ball.
The obvious question is about the other side of the ball under Bubba. What are you sensing? What are you hearing?
Yeah, so it's going to be an interesting mix because, you know, Auburn under Gus Malzahn, again, kind of like with Kevin Sealer, you knew what you were kind of getting. And, you know, for better or worse, when it worked, and when it didn't, it had some rough spots. You know, when you look at Brian Harsin and Mike Bobo's, both of their backgrounds, these are guys that use very multiple, almost, you know, more pro-style type of offenses. You're going to see Auburn possibly go under center a little bit more. You're going to see them, you know, maybe even use fullbacks, two tight end sets a lot more, kind of be a little bit more versatile in that, you know, in the way. And see, I think this is where, you know, in spring practice with Mike Bobo, they've got a guy in Bo Nix coming back that needs to step his game up. He's had less than 60% completion percentage each of his first two seasons at Auburn. He's had some good games and made some really good throws. Got to be more consistent. So I think when you get an offense like this kid that can be wide ranging, what they're having to figure out here in spring practice is, okay, who, you know, what can we do? What are we familiar with that makes the most sense for Bo Nix? Because he's our leader. If he's going to be our guy moving forward, and kind of build around him and that talent. And it helps to have Tank Bigsby coming back, one of the best running backs in college football last year. A lot of newness at wide receiver, which is going to throw a wrench in some things. They're going to have to work those guys and get them up to speed here in the offseason. And then that offense, like I said, bigger, ton of experience, but they've got to make a big step forward. That's a group that has been pretty heavily criticized around Auburn over the last few years, and this is the start of a new era for them.
You mentioned Bigsby. We've already talked to Roman Harper about him earlier today. I mean, how good can he be? I know he's great already.
Yeah, he can be fantastic. I think he has the potential to be, you know, one of the best all around running backs Auburn has had since his position coach, Cadillac Williams. I mean, that's the kind of impact he made early on in his career. You know, Paul, he averaged well over 5, almost 6 yards a carry last season. The last time a number one running back at Auburn had averaged that many yards per carry in a season, got to go all the way back to 1993. So, I mean, it's been a while since Auburn's had a big play guy like that at running back from the very beginning. He can do a lot of different things. That offensive line needs to get better in front of him. But, you know, he showed last season that he can make something out of nothing with the way he breaks tackles and the way he can get into the open field. And this is going to be year two under him. And when we see Brian Harsin and Mike Bobo's track record, they like getting feature backs and really relying on them and leaning on them. You look at both of those guys' track record, they're filled with guys that have been, you know, really strong running backs and past strong RB1s. Auburn didn't have a ton of depth at running back right now, so they're going to have to lean on Bigsby to be a leader. And Harsin mentioned him yesterday as a guy who really stepped up as a vocal leader and kind of led the way for the team, in winter workouts. The rest of the guys he mentioned were all upperclassmen. I think Bigsby's a second-year guy and already taking on a big leadership role on this team. I think that's a really good sign for Auburn.
Before you go, and I know we're just – splitting hairs right now trying to guess, but do you see with the schedule, and the Penn State game is the one that really concerns me about a great season, mm-hmm. but what are you hearing in terms of, is it 7-8, is it more? I mean, what is the range, at least from a conventional wisdom standpoint, for Auburn this coming season?
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/network.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Yeah, I think it's somewhere in the kind of that 7 or 8 win range is where you're kind of looking where the numbers are fitting right now. I think, you know, Auburn's got a good setup for their schedule, and the fact that you get a couple of non-conference games to kind of get your feet wet, get ready, you know, ready and rolling with this new staff before you go to Penn State, which is going to be a very challenging game. Then you get to come back home, kind of reset, play another non-conference game that you should win before you hit the SEC slate. That SEC slate, you know, you get Georgia and Alabama at home. LSU on the road is going to be tough, as it always is. A&M looks a lot tougher this year. So it's going to be a grind. And so I think that 7, you know, an 8 win on the top end kind of range makes the most sense for Auburn. And I think, you know, whether the fan base is going to be pleased with that or not, I think what do you have to see this year for Auburn? I think what progress is going to look like and what a good first year under Brian Harsin would be is if these new schemes, especially the new scheme on offense, and looking at Bo Nix, if he ends up, you know, staying put at your starting quarterback like you expect, if he can take that step forward, if you can show some signs of life and progress on offense, because over the last couple of seasons under Gus Malzahn, the offense had kind of dipped off. So when you have something new, you have to be able to kind of, you know, put a marker down and say, hey, this is what we're building towards. You hire Brian Harsin for the long haul. This is just step one. And life in the SEC is tough. So, I think it's going to be a very, very interesting season to how they put it off. And I think the schedule could have been a lot more brutal in the way it's set up. So I think Auburn's going to have some chances to kind of, you know, pick themselves off the mat if they do kind of get knocked down throughout that season against some really good teams.
Great to hear. Justin, thanks for dropping by. We will talk to you very soon.
Absolutely. Appreciate it, Paul.
Excellent conversation, Justin Ferguson. We are heading to a break, 30 minutes remaining, and we are coming right back.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Back on the program, and let's check in with, haven't seen him in a while. Larry is in Shelby.
What's on? What's going on, Paul?
Larry, how are you?
I'm doing good, man. I finally got the procedure figured out they're going to do, man, you know.
What's that?
I was praying it wasn't old Mark surgeon, and it's not. They're doing a procedure with a pig's ear.
A pig's ear?
Or something. Yeah, that's crazy, ain't it? It hasn't been done that many times, but that valve, Michael valve, it's made out of metal, and that pig's skin or ear is supposed to be tough.
You don't think it's a razorback, do you?
Come on, man. Oh, my God. If I started a suey, man, I mean,
you're going to come out of surgery doing woo pig suey, man.
Woo, that'd be mad.
Saban's not going to like that.
Yeah, but anyway, finally got it narrowed down to doing that. I hope and pray, man, it gets good. But I'm enjoying my new ride, my Silverado. But I've been losing skill, man. It's been tough, man. I mean, Bama. I'm shocked that that basketball team that turned out. Were you pretty surprised?
Yeah, I thought they would be okay, but I didn't think they would be this good.
I know, man. And now the guy that's coaching them looks badass, you know. At first, when he was losing a few, I thought, hey, chump. And then, man, now he looks the part. You know, that's what you got to do, look the part.
Winning really looks good on people, Larry.
You look good. You look the part, Feinbaum.
I'm trying, Larry. It's not easy. I'm still operating on a normal heart, not a pig heart.
Hey, man, you can piss more people off in 30 minutes than anybody I know, man. You can get to them because you know how to make them dial that number and cuss you out. I mean, you're good. I mean, I love you, man. But hey, I'll let you know, man, how it comes out. And
when is the procedure?
They're getting a day together now. It took 3 heart doctors to sit down and look at it. The where they run the cameras around my heart from the back to the front,
Right.
And I told her, listen, I don't want up marsh turkey. I couldn't handle one of those heart turkeys. I told her, you just let me let the valve leak and the good times roll. I said, but I ain't going up marsh. Hell no.
Definitely. Hey, you let us know how it goes.
I will, man. And roll tide, Paul. You're doing a fine job, man.
Thank you, Larry, brother.
I
like the sound of that. Squirrel, what about that? Is that a pig's ear in his heart or a pig's heart? I wasn't sure. Squirrel, you there?
Are you talking to me?
I was trying to get some medical advice from you after that Larry call.
I don't know if I can give you too much medical advice with pig ears, but I'm glad to hear that he's getting his procedure, and I'm wishing him well. You know, and he sounded a little stronger today than he did the last time.
He sounded great. Yeah, by the way, I don't I'm not making light of this, but my dog, you know, it's a pet store. They sell pig ears. I hope what Larry gets is better than what my dog gets.
Maybe it's a little more of a medical grade figure, I would hope.
Yeah, probably.
But it's been a real interesting show today. And while I was listening to the Auburn guy, I wanted to ask you about a caller, but it reminded me of, have you been in contact with Coach Heupel yet from Tennessee since he's joined the staff? And
not yet.
Has the athletic director been on? What's his name? Randy White?
Not yet.
If they've been this sensitive over a little comment that you made, how are they going to act this fall when the heat's really turned on?
I don't know whether they're sensitive or not. I just know they haven't been on.
but maybe they'll come on here soon. But
yeah,
and another great call. All your stars are coming back. I heard Joe from Red Bay.
I mean, yeah, Larry. Like we had Larry a minute ago. Squirrel, you know, for all the criticism of this show, and I know you're not part of it. I'm not part of it. Yeah, the show's not the same. But you know, the fact that Joe came back and did a mea culpa.
He apologized for what he said to you on Twitter, which I didn't see because Joe has me blocked for some reason.
Yeah. Well, that was kind of my message to him when I said I don't block people on Twitter. I knew Joe did.
Joe does. He blocked me, and I don't even know why.
Now, do you block people, Squirrel?
Only when they block me. I block them back.
Okay.
I block Brando. I block Jim. I block several people.
Maybe I should start blocking people for fun. Maybe it would make me feel better.
Yeah, why not do it? But no, if you remember, me and you and Joe buddied up in Oxford several years ago.
I do remember that. I don't want to block anymore else because Twitter has this new thing. Once they after the insurrection, they start wiping people out. And, considering where most of our audience is, they wiped out about 20 or 30,000 of our followers.
I believe so, and they took our buddy, you know, who
he was a casualty of war.
I wanted to wish him a belated happy birthday. We missed his birthday last month.
Oh,
but
my
was
goodness.
He a victim of the QAnon? Was he a victim of the QAnon?
Yes.
Sleep?
Yeah. He.
That's what I saw.
I mean, and by the way, I mean he had good company in that.
Kudos.
I mean, the former president.
If you're going to get caught up with the president and 30,000 or 70,000 other people in this country. Kudos to Jim for being one of those 70,000.
Yeah.
What I've got to say. I mean, seriously. And I like what you said about anybody should be able to say anything they want to on Twitter. Again, I don't like policing and the fact checking that's
no. I'm with you on that. And you know, I mean, I said that for a reason, and I just think it's out. I mean, I don't know. I mean, what finally pushed them over the edge? I mean, after all this, after 4 years.
I'm not one to say, because they suspended me. Twitter suspended me like 4 or 5 times, but they always let me on about a week later. But I've even tried to get suspended. So I don't know.
If Twitter suspends you, where do you go to get your handle back?
Well, you complain. You send in a complaint.
Oh, okay.
And then after about 3 or 4 days, it just reemerges again. It's kind of bizarre.
Can you imagine?
They make their own rules. They make their own rules on Twitter, you know.
Can you imagine that when Jim tried to call them up? I say that because I've been at the other end of that phone before when he's upset about something.
Oh, my God.
I would imagine Twitter suspends you. That's not going to be a friendly phone call.
I just can't believe he hadn't got him another burner account and started back over again. I don't know, but. Maybe he'll call in and explain to us one day. Thank you for taking my call. Alert.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network beginning at 3 Eastern.